Every year on Palm Sunday, we hear the Passion according to one of the three synoptic gospel writers, and this year we hear from Mark's gospel. And every time we hear the Passion according to Mark, I always notice the way that he starts his Passion narrative, which is unique. He doesn't start with the Last Supper, but he starts with a meal that occurred before the Last Supper, and that's the meal that he shared with Simon the leper in Bethany. And we're told that he was there with other people, his disciples probably. Simon the leper is probably somebody that he healed during his ministry. And Bethany, which was right outside of Jerusalem, was also the home of some of his other close friends, like Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And so this is probably a very friendly dinner. People that he was very close to would have been there with him, which is different than some of the other dinners that he was at, where there would be scribes and Pharisees just kind of waiting for him to do something or say something that they could criticize. So this is different. It was like a consoling meal with friends prior to his betrayal and arrest, which would happen very soon. So as this group of friends are enjoying each other's company, something very unique and memorable happens. A woman comes in, and we don't know who she is, but she could be Mary, his friend, who also lives there in Bethany. And this woman is holding something very expensive and precious. It's an alabaster jar that has a perfumed oil in it made from a very rare and expensive extract of nard. In our day, this sort of thing would have been worth thousands of dollars. So it's something very precious that she has. And to the shock of everyone in the room, she breaks the alabaster jar and pours the perfumed liquid over the head of Jesus. And the fragrance would have wafted throughout the room. And it's an act of sheer extravagance of something so expensive and precious at a time when people were poor. And some of Jesus's close friends and acquaintances grew upset at the woman. And they questioned if this was not wasted on Jesus, the way that they had broke the jar and poured out its contents. They say, this money, or this could have been sold and the money given to the poor. And Jesus responds very sternly to those who were protesting in defense of the woman. And he says, let her alone, she's done a good thing for me. Jesus sees how she is anticipating the anointing before his burial. And if we think ahead, Jesus has to be buried in haste and isn't even anointed like he's supposed to be before he's laid in the tomb. So in a very real way, this woman anticipates his need to be anointed before burial. Jesus also says, wherever the gospel is proclaimed to the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her, which is true, because here 2,000 years later in Glencoe, Minnesota, we're talking in memory of this woman and her extravagant act. So was it wasteful what the woman did? Was it wasteful to break and to empty something out so precious? And she doesn't just pour a little drop on Jesus' head, but actually the word in Greek used here is that she shatters the jar, destroys it, and allows that its precious contents to drip over the head of Jesus. She uses it all up. She holds nothing back. She gives a total gift. And the fragrance wafts through the room. It's almost like the fragrance wafts over the whole Passion narrative. gives us an insight into what Jesus is himself is doing as he is betrayed and arrested in the garden, as he goes to be interrogated by the high priest and by Pilate, as he's mocked and spat upon by the Roman soldiers, as they place that heavy cross on his shoulders, and as he carries it then up to the hill of Calvary. Jesus himself is the one whose body is broken, shattered, and it's his blood that's poured out, and he holds nothing back. He makes a total gift of himself. The woman in whose memory we speak now 2,000 years later helps us to understand the totality of the precious gift that Jesus offers. It's everything, and it's a very precious and costly gift that he gives. It's kind of interesting to see this woman, this unnamed woman, give something so precious. It's certainly, the gift, certainly for it to be meaningful, has to mean that she's not only giving this jar of ointment, but she's actually making a gift of herself. That's symbolized in that jar is the gift of her own loving heart that she pours out there before Jesus, anticipating the gift that he's going to make of his life. How do his friends respond? Well, this is kind of interesting. The people who are with him, they still don't get it. And some of them complain. They don't, even though they clearly love Jesus, maybe they don't see quite yet how precious he is. But after he dies and after they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, then they will. Because then it's this woman before Jesus' death that symbolically gives herself to Jesus and her heart. After his death, finally his own friends and disciples, having received the gift of the Holy Spirit, will themselves come around and give their lives too. What happens to every one of his apostles after Pentecost? Will they go out into all of the world and they shed their own blood for Jesus, making a total gift of themselves for him? So now that we've talked about the gift that Jesus makes, and that the gift that the woman makes in anticipation of Jesus' gift, and the gift that his friends and disciples make in a response to Jesus' gift, what about us? What about you and me? This woman holds this alabaster jar out in front of us and begs the question, what about you? She says. So this morning as I read this, I have to ask the question, what about me? What's the gift that I make of my life? My life is precious and costly, just like your life is precious and costly. Do we give our lives to Jesus? Do we give our heart to Jesus? Is there any aspect of our life that we withhold from him or hold back from him? Are we willing to give this and that, but not this? Jesus, you can have 99% of my heart. Do we think that he's satisfied with that? Your spouse, if you told your spouse that they could have 99% of your heart, would you be satisfied? Love isn't satisfied with just a little bit, just part, some. Love wants the whole, a whole gift of self. So today as we meet Jesus as the sacrifice that we heard proclaimed today, as that sacrifice is renewed here at the altar, and once more Jesus gives us the gift of his body and blood. The alabaster jar is broken at every Mass, and his blood is poured out at every Mass for us as a gift of love. How do we respond back to Jesus in our hearts to that gift of love that he gives? I think a lot of times, I mean, and I'm speaking for myself here, I'm even though I'm a priest, even though I have given up many things for Christ, there's still a lot of selfishness in my heart that doesn't give everything, that wants to reserve little pieces of my life and pieces of my heart for myself and not give them away. So as we acknowledge the aspects of our life that we don't want to give to Jesus or that we withhold from Jesus, I think he's so happy when we can just tell him that and say, I really want to follow you totally, and I want to give you my life totally, Jesus, but I struggle to give you this. Please help me. I think he's so pleased when we can realize our own weakness, realize how hard it is for us to make a reciprocal gift to him, and to just say, Jesus, I love you. I want to love you perfectly. Please help me to make a total gift of myself. So as Jesus himself comes to us today, giving us the gift of himself, let's ask the Lord to give us the grace to make a reciprocal gift back to him, total gift of our lives. And what does that mean? It means that anything that he asks us to do, we'll do. Anywhere he asks us to go, we'll go. Anything he asks us to give up, we'll give up. But he needs to give us the grace to do that, so that's what we can renew in our hearts today, our own desire for the gift that he gives, our desire to make a gift of ourselves. We can ask for the grace to give as generously as this woman gave in the gospel, as his friends gave after his death and resurrection, and as Jesus himself gives to us and is inviting us this morning to give back.